الحمد لله، جزاكم الله خيرا. So today is our last class for Steps to Arabic Part 2. SubhanAllah, it is obviously at the end of a journey, it is always bittersweet. But today, inshallah, we will cover lots of examples of Inna from the Quran, study of that, inshallah ta'ala. Before I begin, I want to just quickly I think there's been some issues with registration. Unfortunately, our registration system is substandard. It's nothing that you just, this is the reality, unfortunately. So I appreciate your patience as you're working through it. The one who is maybe unable to afford currently the joining the course Steps to Arabic Part 3, the accommodation I wanted to make for someone like that, that they could continue studying until April 24th, which is Ramadan, and then join in and start paying in June. The way this strategy was executed was not in a very good way by our on our website. It's not a very good workflow. But regardless, the conclusion is one of two, or one, there's two possibilities. One is you pay on the website currently and you're registered for Steps to Arabic Part 3 and everything is normal, alhamdulillah, just as it is. And we appreciate you doing that because it allows us to know the enrollment numbers ahead of time. Or you continue with the course, like basically Steps to Arabic Part 3 continues to be offered the same way as Steps to Arabic Part 2 is offered. The same place, links will be posted, recordings will be posted. They'll be posted in duplicate on both the portal for Part 2 and the portal for Part 3 until April 24th, after which, Ramadan comes and whatnot, and then the new recordings starting June will only be posted on the Steps to Arabic Part 3 portal. I hope that makes sense of the slightly muddy waters here, inshallah, and my apologies for the confusion and whatnot, and it is something, this is the unfortunate situation that we are in with regards to the workflow on the website, and so I appreciate your patience regarding that. Jazakumullah khairan, everybody, for that. Is that part okay? Are we going to proceed with that? Okay, number two is the project. Sister Solange, you have an update for us on the final assessment? Excellent. Jazakallah khairan. The final assessment is about to be ready as well. And we appreciate your hard work, and we appreciate everybody else's patience in waiting for it. Inshallah, you will have the little bit of time that we have off the class on Thursday, the class on Saturday, right? You have the opportunity to work on it. You can go live tonight. That will be very good. Okay, if we can go live tonight, inshallah. The due date, Sister Solange will post on it, inshallah ta'ala, and she'll post it on the group if you don't mind, Brother Danish. Okay, sounds good. Okay, with all that said, alhamdulillah, let us get cracking on the last part of our topic, which is where is it? Harf Nasb. Let me just open this for you, inshallah, if you can give me a moment. People just do. Share screen. Ah, okay. Okay, so the can you all see the screen? Yes, inshallah. But having a little bit of problems with Zoom, but I don't know, maybe it's crumbling under the pressure of everybody suddenly using it. Right, it's like the hottest new thing. I was mentioning it to like the masjid. They're like, oh, have you used it ever? I'm like, a little bit. So that's, you know, now it's become like the new thing. All right, people. So here we are. Yes. Well done, Sister Laiba. A quick reminder of influencers on Jumla Ismiya. They affect they come in the beginning of a Jumla Ismiya, and what they do is they affect the tashkil, the terminology, and the meaning of a Jumla Ismiya. Correct? That is what we were discussing. Yes or no? And this is today what we will see is example after example of inna and how it, you know, affects the Jumla and how it emphasizes the Jumla. Okay. So if I can go back to this, this is a harf nasb and its sisters, everything that acts as a harf nasb is considered to be a sister of inna. That's the name of the amil, the influencer. What does it do? Okay, it comes and it has an effect on the tashkil. Allahu basirun bil ibad. Allahu was the mubtada, that's marfu'. Inna Allaha. Harf nasb does what? It makes this word Allaha, the mubtada, it makes it mansub. Okay, does it do anything to the khabar? Does it change the tashkil of the khabar? The answer to that question is no, it doesn't. Very good. Alhamdulillah, jazakumullahu khairan. Okay, the khabar, it remains intact, basirun. Okay, that's wonderful. I appreciate that. Now, here's the other question for you all. In the mubtada, the first marfu ism was mubtada, correct? The first marfu ism is usually al mubtada. And the second marfu ism is usually what? Khabar. Okay, now what happens is the following. Allah becomes mansub because of inna. So now my khabar would be what? The first marfu ism in the sentence. Isn't that right? Do you see that? Like in this sentence, if you look at it, the khabar, if I can just move this guy here. Okay, just please move. No? Okay. Yay, alhamdulillah. If I could see that this is the effect on the terminology, mubtada becomes ism inna, and khabar becomes khabar inna, but now khabar also is the first marfu' ism, isn't it? That is an important little alteration. That is how we will look for the khabar of inna. Okay, the terminology, also the thing that we introduce is harf nasb is inna, and related to khabar remains as it doesn't get altered. Okay, so that is a few important things about the effect on the tashkil, the effect of the terminology, and finally the effect on meaning is inna Allaha, the word indeed is added. Right, indeed is added, and it is a type of emphasis that is added to the sentence. This is just a quick recap of Jumla Ismiya, emphasized by Harf Nasb. Okay, now, Now we begin the really fun stuff, inshallah. I tell you, once we do inna, once we do alladhi, and once we do kana, these three topics, there is like your comprehension of Quran will jump. Say if it was 35 to 40%, it will jump to 70 to 80%. It will double. Okay? Because this is so frequent in the Quran. Then it's just a matter of you acquiring more and more vocabulary. This is where like the most gains are, in my opinion. With fa'il, we alhamdulillah had the opportunity. We saw a lot of like, you know, that application in the Quran. Jumla is fa'iliya. But we were still, you know, not ready to fully expand because we didn't really know how jumla ismiya and fa'iliya would relate. Okay, now we have a basis for that. And then you add to that inna, kana, alladhi. And that is when, with every topic, the ayat that we can explore and learn, just that group of examples just explodes, right? It grows exponentially. Think of it like the curve has like, you know, gone up. bad example. All right. But yes, it will grow exponentially, inshallah. Other curves you want to flatten. This curve you want to make it go up, inshallah. Okay. What do I say? Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. How would I explain this? Let's start with the harf nasb. Okay. What is the harf nasb? Harf nasb is inna. Yes or no, people? Are you with me? Okay, very good. The ism inna, what is it, people? The word Allah, right? The word Allah, correct? All right, khabar inna. Yes, khabar inna, people. What do you say? Now I'm looking for, and I do a khabar inna, like basically the first marfu' ism in the jumla. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in. Qadirun. All right. Qadirun. You got my answer. Qadirun. It would have been the second marfu' ism, right? This is right now. It will become our first marfu' ism. It used to be our second. Now it is our first. Because the first got turned into mansub. All right. Qadirun. We got it. Very good. Alhamdulillah. Next up, I'm looking for anything related to the khabar. Anything related to khabar. What do you think, ya people? Harf jar is isim majur. Where is that? Ala. And then kulli. Right? Harf jar is isim majur. And also, shay'in is what? What do you think? Shay'in is mudaf, mudaf ilayhi, right? This is the mudaf ilayhi. And the mudaf, of course, is kulli. Kulli is my mudaf. And shay'in is my mudaf ilayhi. Yes or no? These three words are, you know, they're all together. Ala, harf jar, kulli, ism majur. Kulli, mudaf, shay'in, mudaf ilayhi. Okay? Now, these three, essentially, are taking up the slot of related. What is the translation now, people? What is the translation? Ya jama'a, inna. What do you think? Indeed. Right? Or maybe people are writing the whole translation. That's good too. Alhamdulillah.
Indeed, Allah is.
Indeed, Allah. Okay, excellent. I put my... It's a minna. Then I put my khabar, which is... After is. Indeed, Allah is... now, give me the khabar first. Qadirun is... Powerful. Let's put powerful as Qadir. The meaning of Qadir from Qaf, Dal, Ra, the root. Qadara is to, you know, Qadr is power. Qadr is also destiny, right? The one who is determining our destiny and destiny of all things. Powerful. Ala on or upon all things. Shay, kulli shay'in. Do you, are you okay with this translation?
Yes.
When we translate, exactly, Sister Vida, we want to translate where our mubtada, in this case now, this is ism inna, then it comes before is. Then after is comes our khabar. And then comes our related. The translation would still be in this sequence, mubtada, khabar, related, right? In this case, now we have ism inna that becomes like it takes the place of the mubtada. Then you have khabar inna, and related still comes the way it does, right? Ism inna, khabar inna, and then finally related. Yep. The order we keep for our transition. But now we will add some emphasis. How will we add emphasis? Control B, Control U, Control I. We will add emphasis using the tools that Allah has blessed us with. Microsoft Word. Okay. Inna is emphasizing what? Indeed, Allah, right? So it emphasizes Allah. How many times is it emphasized? Is once, essentially, right? There's one type of emphasis here. Indeed, inna is what's emphasizing it. All right? Powerful upon all things. Is there another interesting thing here that's happening? In the original sentence, I have my ism inna. I have my ism inna. Then I have my khabar inna, but before khabar inna, I have related. I have related. Correct? Do you notice that? The order of this is different. Let me remind you, right? If the order is the related comes before the khabar. If the related comes before the khabar, then it is brought for emphasis. Al-mar'atu fi madrasatin. The woman is a teacher in a school. Al-mar'atu fi madrasatin mu'allimatun. Remember that example? In a school is highlighted more than the fact that she's a teacher. So that would mean, if this is, you know, my ism inna, let's put one here, right? And this is my khabar. Let's put two here. This is my related. This is three. You notice it is out of order. It is 1, 3, 2. You see that, people? Sister Halima, al-rabit, we do it when there's a jumla that's a khabar. For the jumla ismiya, right? We will get to it inshallah today, but not right now. Do you see how this is different right now? I have related to khabar, which is supposed to be third in the order, is now coming basically ahead of its place. People, do you see that? Okay, excellent. So now, since that's the case, that is to highlight and put emphasis upon all things. Allah is powerful upon all things. That is the point that's being highlighted here, just by the switching of the order of khabar and related to khabar. Now, this is makes it interesting if you look at what the ayah is talking about. The ayah, if I could, firstly, do you all see this point? Yes, okay. Now, let me show you what the ayah is actually, the context of the ayah. The context of the ayah will make things clearer, inshallah, for us. Okay? This ayah is speaking about hypocrites, the people who, not just somebody who has like a character flaw, but these are people who lived in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and they would lie to the Prophet ﷺ. They would say to the Prophet, yeah, we're Muslims, but they were in fact disbelievers, and they were only doing this for political reasons, to not get into a situation where they would have to go to war against the Prophet ﷺ. And there was a deep, deep dislike that they had of the Prophet ﷺ and his sunnah. Okay, now what's very interesting is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala actually gives an example to highlight their actions. Their actions are يَكَادُ الْبَرْقُ يَخْطَفُ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. The lightning almost takes away their sight. كُلَّمَا أَضَاءَ لَهُمْ مَشَوْ فِيهِ وَإِذَا أَظَّمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. Whenever it flashes upon them, they walk on. Okay? When it is convenient to do something, they will do it. If it's in their interests to do it, and it's in the interests of the Muslims, they will happily indulge in that. وَإِذَا أَظْلَمَ عَلَيْهِمْ قَامُوا. But when it is not in their interests, it's like dark, and you have to go out and do something, it's not in their interest to do so, they would not do it. They would just stand still and, you know, wouldn't participate. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes of their behavior. Okay? That they hide in the shadows. They do whatever is needed to do when it's convenient, if it's in their interests. And then they, when it is time to do something that is inconvenient, they stand on the sidelines. Allah says, if Allah wanted, وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ لَذَهَبَ بِسَمْعِهِمْ وَأَبْصَارِهِمْ. If Allah wanted, He could have taken away their hearing and sight, meaning He could have exposed them. He could have exposed them by name. He could have, exposed them very thoroughly, so there's no more like contention. But Allah didn't do that, did He? Did He expose the hypocrites by name? Like all of them? No, in fact, that was a secret that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ did not expose that to the people. He only told it to one sahabi. Anybody know the name of that sahabi? Hudhayfa, radiallahu anhu, right? Exactly. So Tawbah pretty much calls them out, but still, they lived on amongst the Muslims while the Prophet was alive, and after the death of the Prophet ﷺ. The only way you would know somebody was a true munafiq was if the Prophet ﷺ did not pray janaza over them, or Hudhayfa, after the passing of the Prophet ﷺ, did not pray janaza over them. Okay, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not actually publish a name of a list of their names, or the Prophet ﷺ did not name them out publicly. That was Allah's decision. Inna Allah ala kulli shay'in qadir. It is the decree of Allah. Indeed, Allah, it is Allah. It's His decision to make things or leave things this way. Like, it is Allah's decision to leave, you know, in our ranks people who don't have our interests in mind, at heart. That's Allah's decision. Qadir, that's His decree. And ala kulli shay'in, Allah's decree, He is able to decree whatever He wants, powerful upon all things. what the lesson for us is, we have to accept the decree of Allah and understand the wisdom of the decree of Allah and work with it. For example, like Sister Laila was saying, it prevents complacency. It also introduces the idea of, look, if you know, these are people, if Allah had exposed these things to the Prophet ﷺ and he had published it, then when those kind of people come later on in our history, we could easily say, well, the Prophet had Allah's divine guidance and that's why he was able to snuff them out, but we can't do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't actually do that. He let the Prophet ﷺ operate essentially in the dark about who was a hypocrite exactly by name and who was a hypocrite, who was not, so that the Prophet could set the example of how we deal with people of all types. Hmm? And he did that. And by the way, the list of hypocrites and whatnot wasn't revealed, like, or wasn't given to the Prophet right away. It was towards the end of the life of one famous hypocrite, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. Anyway, the point of this long story is, the ayah is saying that's Allah's decision. Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. And guess what? Allah, indeed Allah, He is the one who is powerful over all things. Do you see how, like, the emphasis is in sync with the message? Do you kind of see that? I tried my best to explain it. Not sure if it was clear. Yes or no, people? All right, we have some yeses and some noes. Or some yeses and some silent yeses. I'll take them as silent yes. Okay. Let me zoom out. Oh boy, where is it? Please come back. Innal insana lafi khusr. Wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. All right. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. People, you with me? Let us do something before we begin. I want us to label or number how many words there are in this sentence. Inna al-insana lafi khusrin. Okay. Inna, that's the first word. Second word. Al-insana. Very good. Third word. Oh, you know what? I'm actually going to do it here. I'm actually going to, if you don't mind, do it over here so that it remains constant. So, inna. Al-insana. Two. La is three. Very good. Fi. Four. Khusrin. Five. Okay. We're going to separate this la from the fi, okay? And treat it as a word by itself. Can you guess what this la is for? A wild guess. For emphasis, yes. That's your safe answer. When I ask you, but you see, it's not just brute force emphasis. There is a... It's. I actually, when I used to teach this group of kids, we were talking about this stuff. They were actually memorizing Quran, and I was teaching them this stuff. And mashallah, they actually finished the Quran and finished this Arabic almost like at the same time. So it was quite cool because they started to understand a little bit of the Quran as they were memorizing it. So this was like the joke. Every time I would say, "Why is this emphasis?" Every time I would ask them a question, the first thing they would say, "Emphasis." And I would tell them, guys, it's not just, you know, like brute force emphasis. Everything is just like highlighted and underlined and there's like blinking words. That's not what it is. There is a very subtle way of Allah highlighting something. Okay. And that's like that's an art. And that's where one of the great miracles of the Quran is how Allah highlights something and how that highlighting of something is in sync with the rest of the message. Or with, it's in sync with like a larger message that Allah wants to send. And I think we should be discussing that because the Quran is filled with it. Yes or no? Just saying Ola is emphasis and just ignoring it doesn't do justice. And we want to be able to study this the Quran to understand it and also to appreciate it. Do you agree? Okay, very good. Let's start with the first thing I write here. What do I write here firstly? Harf Nasb, thank you. Harf Nasb. Okay. Do you want to do in the breakout group the analysis of this, or should we do it together? Together. Nobody likes working in groups. All right, fine. All right. Okay, so you know, I learned this because I'm teaching some kids' classes online. Yes, I know, subhanAllah. And without the breakout groups, that class becomes like a bard, you know. So breakout groups for that group is so important because they can just talk for 5 seconds about what I tell them, and then they just chat randomly about other things, which is okay, alhamdulillah. But I felt that was valuable. I don't know if you feel that right now. That's okay, inshallah. I don't want to disturb our flow. Inshallah. Yes, we did go fancy last week, Brother Salim. We missed your presence in the group. Okay, Harf Nasb is inna. Since the desire for groups is low, we will ignore the group. All right. What is the ism inna? Ism inna is al-insana. Very good. Thank you very much. Al-insana is ism inna. Okay. Khabar inna. And this one, folks, I'm looking as my first marfu ism. Okay. Gotta be marfu. Is there? No, right? In words 3, 4, 5, there is no marfu word, right? Because la is a harf, fi is a harf. And number 5 word, khusrin, is majrur. So we will say na. But that's not a problem as long as we have it related to khabar. So we have it related to khabar. That would be arjar fi khusrin. Was that correct? All right, I'm missing one word in my analysis so far, which is la, right? Okay, let's talk about la. La has a fancy Arabic name, this la. So la actually in Arabic has multiple uses, okay? We will learn la when we study conditional sentences. Conditional sentences are if-then sentences. If this happens, then this will happen. So Arabic actually has a built-in way to tell you about conditional sentences, if then, and la plays a role there that's very beautiful and very prominent. Okay, la comes as a harf for oath. I think we've seen that in some examples, but it's a stay. It comes with a fi'il, with a oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking. La represents the oath. Okay? Then la also is used for the third main usage of it is emphasis. And that's what we're going to deal with today. Okay? Now, la, it actually emphasizes the mubtada. And let me show you an example of this. Okay? I had this ayah open and I didn't save it. Look, Google remembered it. Ayah number 57 of Surah 40. Okay. Surah 40. Ayah 57. Okay, look at this ayah. I'm going to paste this ayah here just for your reference. Okay. It says, لَخَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. In this little part of the sentence, that I've highlighted, let me make this a little smaller, okay? لَخَلْقُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ أَكْبَرُ مِنْ خَلْقِ النَّاسِ. You notice that the first مرفوع اسم is خَلْقُ. That's my first مرفوع اسم. Correct? خَلْقُ. You notice that? That would be my مُبْتَدَى. That would be my مُبْتَدَى. All right. And can you tell me where the second مرفوع اسم is? This is where the sentence ends. أكبر. أحسنتم. Very good. Very, very nice. Right? You notice, what does أكبر mean generally? Do you know what أكبر means? Big, greater, right? Look, greater. See, there's a is here in between, right? خَلْقُ is the creation, that's your مُبْتَدَى. Right? And then the أَكْبَرُ, that's your خَبَر, right? Right here, greater. خَبَر. This is, I hope, not too difficult, right? Yes? Perfect. And of course, خَلْقُ is مُبْتَدَى. Also, مُضَاف السَّمَوَاتِ is مُضَاف إِلَيْهِ, the creation of the heavens. Wa and الْأَرْضِ and the earth. This أَرْضِ is connected by the wow to السَّمَوَاتِ, right? They're both connected in by the connector wow. Okay. أَكْبَرُ is your خَبَر and مِن is your حَرْف جَر. خَلْقِ is your ism مَجْرُور. And this thing, along with خَلْقِي is مُضَاف and مُضَاف إِلَيْهِ is your what? Related to خَبَر, right? Related to the خَبَر. أَكْبَرُ, this is actually banned from تَنْوِين, Sister Nadia. It's actually banned from تَنْوِين, أَكْبَرُ. Good observation, جزاكَ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا, very nice. But the point is, you have a مُبْتَدَى and your خَبَر and you have related to خَبَر, right? Simple, fairly straightforward جُمْلَة إِسْمِيَة structure, right? Yes or no, people? That's my related, I'll write that there. Okay, there is a certainly. Where is that certainly? Excellent, لَا. What is that la that's certainly attached to? Mubtada or the khabar or related to khabar? What is it attached to? It is attached to the mubtada. This is what the la or the lam of emphasis does. Okay, it attaches to the mubtada. Is that okay, people? That's its default role. Okay, but as you know, the Quran is and in Arabic, the roles are, they're like layers, right? So this is the base, the default, and then there's going to be layers of complexity below it, but the complexity adds beauty. That's what it does. Okay, and that's what we're going to try to figure out, the beauty that's hidden here, inshallah. Okay, you may not think of studying Arabic grammar as some beautiful pursuit. And in most of the times, it's a labor of love, inshallah. But I kid you not, when we have the tools available, then you can start to appreciate the layers of how Allah speaks and how He beautifully expresses the message that is there in the Quran, and how that is like a glance of or a glimpse of what really moved the people to accept Islam, right? And inshallah will move us into action. Okay, so we got that part. La, it emphasizes the mubtada. But now, as you see, innal insana, is the mubtada already emphasized by inna? It is, right? And in fact, let's add to this. Inna, the ism inna, is right next to the inna. Correct? Okay, this is your word number one, and this is your word number two. Correct? or not. It's already emphasized, yes, and it is right next to it. Now, the lam emphasizing the ism inna slips to the next part of the sentence. That's Sister Maryam's question. So what's the name of the lam? The slipping lam. I don't know if I should make this reference, but maybe some of you watch this show, Slipping Jimmy. Okay, never mind. Unless I didn't got it good. All right. But you notice, lam kind of, imagine it was here, the lam. But the lam is like told, okay, buddy, you got to move. Because inna is coming to emphasize. Okay. Now, the lam slips over to the next part of the sentence. And what's the next part of the sentence? Is it the khabar right now in this example? Related to khabar. So it slips over and attaches itself to the related. The lam emphasizing the ism inna slips to the next part of the sentence. It still emphasizes the ism inna. It still is emphasizing it. It's just slipped to the next word. Because just the Arabs did not tolerate inna and then la right after. It's not emphasizing khusring actually. We'll see examples of that. I'll show you examples of when this comes together. Ism inna is right next to inna. Sometimes it's not going to be. These are, again, this is where the layers are and that's where the beauty lies. But just follow the example with me here. The lam emphasizing the ism inna now actually goes and attaches to the related to khabar. Let's translate this sentence, shall we? Innal insana. Indeed, brother Rahid. Indeed. Al insan. How do you translate al insan? The human. Now, after the ism inna, I need is, right? The human is fi in khusrin. What is khusr? A loss. In a loss. The human is in a loss. Okay? I have my ism inna. And I have my related to the khabar. Okay, now let's emphasize. The human. It's emphasized firstly by inna, correct? Yes or no? Did I use bold for that or did I use underline? I did bold. Okay, perfect. Okay. Next, it's emphasized by the slipping lam. Yes or no? You bet. The human. Now, is there a third emphasis as well in the ayah? Well, for that, we have to look at the surah. The last part is interesting too, Brother Salim. Hold on to that thought for a sec. But just the beginning of the sentence. Where is it? Surah Al-Qasr. There it is. Is there something before the surah, before the ayah, that could emphasize as well? The vow of oath, right? Wal asr, what's the point of the oath? The kids do it when they're in trouble. I swear I didn't do it. Because they want to emphasize and add some authority to their claim, right? Correct? So that is, in essence, what an oath does. It adds authority. It adds a little bit of an emphasis. Okay? So you can actually add a third level of emphasis here. It is Allah who's making the oath. right? And this emphasis, in fact, applies to the whole sentence, right? So maybe we will add this emphasis that applies to the whole sentence using a colored marker. Let's write down the layers of this. One emphasis is by inna, okay? Then there is the la. Then there is the oath. This goes for the whole sentence, for the whole sentence. These two are for the muqtada, and in this case it will actually be the ism inna. For the ism inna. Now we look at the sentence and we say, okay, God, let's look at what Allah is trying to say. And let's look at the word khusrin as well. Okay? First, Allah takes an oath by time, wal asr. Because, and in fact, what time of the day is al asr? The time of asr, right? What time of day is asr? It's the time of asr. But it is in fact late afternoon. Isn't that right? Asr is in Fajr is in the morning, Salim. Asr is in the evening. What happens at the end of Asr? What happens at the end of Asr? It's not, tell me, like, Maghrib, right? Sunset. Thank you. Maghrib, sunset, right? And the day, Islamically, the day breaks, yes. The day Islamically ends at sunset, correct? That's why we have iftar at sunset, right? So Asr time is what time of the day? The time of the day when the day is about to finish. The time of the day, The time of the day when the day is running out of time, right? It's running out of time. No, we know, but we're just joking around with you. And the time of the day is when the day is running out of time. It's slipping away and soon the day will be over. Correct? Al-Asr is from the root Ayn Sara, which is the same root that you use to describe something that's like a juice. Asir is juice because it's like squeezed. So Al-Asr is like literally the hours are squeezed out of the day. Whatever is remaining is like being squeezed out. That's the oath. That oath is emphasizing the whole sentence. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Humans are in a loss. And then the idea, the human, and this the human is all humans. No one is exempted unless they are included in the next ayah. This applies to every single person. Inna al-insan. Okay? Emphasized by inna, emphasized by the la, are in a loss. Just like time is running out of the day at the time of Asr, time is running out in our lives as well. And if we are not making use of our time, we're standing still, we are losing by default. And to drive this point home, we are losing by default. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the oath, then says inna, then says la. And then also uses the word fi khusrin, which is a really beautiful expression, because fi is actually in, but fi, they say, is fi dharfiyya. It talks about something being inside or contains something. So, for example, this coffee is fil kub. It's in the cup. Nothing of it is outside the cup. It's all inside. So the idea is humans are, it's like we're trapped inside a situation that's losing. We are, the cup is lost and we're inside it. And that's the default position that we're in. Fi khusrin. There's other ways to say this. The person, الإنسان خاسر. You could use the actor, you know, version of the of this word خاسر, خاسرٌ. You could use that. The human being is a loser. But that wouldn't really drive home the point that the human is trapped. So the use of harf jar here to show we are trapped in a state of loss. Except who? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who, number one, believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and do good, تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, they encourage the truth, and they encourage this with patience. تَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ is to encourage to follow the truth and to do the right thing, because الْحَقِّ is the truth, as in like the revelation, and الْحَقِّ is doing what is correct. And تَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ is a person who takes, you know, doesn't quit right away, individually or on like a group of people. Nothing's going to change here, I'm just going to leave. That's possible. But صَبْر وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ is the keep advising, the stay, they bide their time until some change is made. So why isn't the lamb emphasizing خُسْرٍ then? It seems just as important in the sentence. It is, Brother Salim. Absolutely. But here, the reality of the lamb is, it emphasizes the mubtada or the ism inna. I'll show you examples where it actually will emphasize the ism inna later on. Okay. Again, you place emphasis where Allah places emphasis. Okay. The emphasis is placed on al-insan. And it's not just one, it's two emphases that's placed on insan. And there is an emphasis on the whole idea that's placed by the oath. And then the idea of loss is not necessarily emphasized, but it's explained by that we're trapped in it. You see? It's a way of expressing thought. If everything is emphasized equally, you know what? Then nothing is really emphasized. You see? But if certain parts of the sentences are emphasized more and others are explained in a way that conveys the message more wholly, all of a sudden now you have emphasis and you have a very descriptive way of talking. That's what this ayah does. People, this is alhamdulillah, like that is how Allah speaks, and I feel we have to put the double emphasis calling on humanity. Excellent. No one is exempt. And then the state of loss, fi khusrin, like you know, water in a cup, trapped. We're trapped in loss. And then the only way to escape that is by believing and doing good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. And here, if you might notice, there is an interesting way. Tawasaw is a fi'al, by the way. Okay? Tawasaw is a fi'al. It's like amanu is a fi'al, amilu is a fi'al, tawasaw is a fi'al, tawasaw is a fi'al. Yeah? Four fi'als here. Amanu, the actor of amanu is hidden pronoun. Oh, sorry. The actor of amanu is wow. They. Amilu. Wow, they. Tawasaw, wow, they. Tawasaw, wow, they. Here, you notice how the word repeats. Tawasaw, tawasaw. Right? That's another different way of highlighting something. That's a different way of emphasizing something. Perhaps one wisdom here is to show the repetition of the word tawasaw shows that this is like an ongoing process. You can't just say, oh yeah, people do the right thing and say, I'm patient right now, alhamdulillah, and that's enough. Now I qualify. No, no, you have to do it time and time again. Time and time, you know, do the right thing, believe in the right thing, and time and time again, be patient and encourage patience. So the idea of takrar, right, repetition, is highlighted by the repetition of the word. Babe, there's this very, very subtle ways that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala conveys His message on the Wallahu A'lam. Even though la is with the fi'il, it only emphasizes the mubtada. Correct. The la is, its role is to emphasize the mubtada or the ism inna. But it slips to the next part of the sentence when the inna and its ism are together. Okay? When they're together, it will slip to the next part. Okay? People, you with me? Alright, we're going to do the next ayah. Then this one is going to drive home the point even more, inshallah. This is Surah Adiyat. Surah Adiyat is also in the last juz. Imam al-Shafi used to say that this surah, Surah al-Asr, is like, if people were to think about it, لَكَفَتْهُمْ, it would be like, that's all they would need. It's such a deep surah, right? And just the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expresses the idea that we are, time is, as time passes, and if you're just stagnant, you are losing. That idea is so powerful, and the way Allah expresses it is so amazing. It should spring us into action. People, you with me? Sorry, I'm doing more explaining of this because now we're not just doing grammar, we also want to appreciate a little bit, right? How Allah is speaking. Yes or no? All right, yeah, people. What is the next? What's the first thing I write here? Oh, before that, let's actually write down the number of words, shall we? Okay. So, inna is number, word number one. Insan, number two. Then what? Li is three, thank you. Fourth is Rabbi, excellent. Fifth is He, mashallah. Is this a grammar thing or tajweed thing? This guy right here. That's a tajweed thing. Okay, perfect. Just wanted to make sure. Okay. Then sixth word is la, and the seventh word is kanudun. Kanudun. Okay. People, you with me? Very good. All right. Let us find our harf nasb first. Harf nasb is the easy thing to spot here. That is inna, right? By the way, there's more than one harf nasb. There's many. The book has the list. But the one that really comes a lot is inna. And then that's the one we're trying to focus on because there's more like interesting things there. Okay. We'll see some other harf as well, inshallah. Don't you worry. Okay. Harf nasb inna. What's the next thing? Isam inna, very good. Isam inna, that is what, ya people? Al insan, very good. Very similar to the ayah before, right? All right, next thing. Khabar inna, right? What would that be? That would be the word kanudun at the very end of the ayah. Can I include la with it? No, I include only the word kanud. I can't copy, unfortunately. I'll just type it. Kanudun. Done. Okay. Excellent. One word only. Related. Is. Li. And then. Rabbi. And then what I'll do is actually I'll just write it like this. Okay. Li Rabbi. And then. He like this. Yeah. Just to save a little bit of space. As you know, like Rabbi is mudaf and he is mudaf ilayhi, right? This is harf jar, ism majur, mudaf, and mudaf ilayhi. Yes? As you can see, it's pretty standard now to have harf jar, ism majur, mudaf, mudaf ilayhi, three all together. That's a pretty standard related to khabar. All right. Now, do you notice that I have my ism inna? The ism inna is usually first. Then I have khabar inna, that's supposed to be second. And then I have related, which is supposed to be third in the order. But here, the order, instead of going 1, 2, 3, it goes 1, 3, 2. I feel like I'm Shaquille O'Neal here. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. What is the translation? Let's do it word by word, shall we? All right. Indeed, the human what do I write next? All right, let's in our translation, let's try to keep the in our translation, just for the sake of like our study, right? We're trying to keep the order as 1, 2, 3. That's the order you want to keep. Mubtada or ism inna, khabar inna, and then related, right? Are you with me? Maybe like this. 1 is 2 plus 3. Indeed, the human is ungrateful. Kanud means ungrateful. That's very good. Jazakumullah khairan. Kanud is one of the words, I think it's the only time in the Quran this word comes. Kanud. Ungrateful to his Lord, right? Towards his Lord. All right, now let's go towards the emphasis. Indeed, the human. So that would be how many? One. And then second emphasis is what? Dalla. Right? Dalla. You with me, people? The la here, notice. We'll get to that as well, Sister Halima. You didn't notice here, the slipping lam, it slipped from the mubtada or the ism inna. It slipped from the ism inna and went to number two in the order, which is khabar. It attached to the khabar. It didn't go to lirabbihi this time. Do you see that? It went to the khabar. That's the idea behind the slipping lam. It there emphasized the mubtada or ism inna. But it will slip if these two guys are together. Okay? Now, indeed the human is ungrateful to his Lord. Yes, the lam of emphasis is for mubtada or ism inna. Okay? All right, now the human is ungrateful. Not that I can think of, Brother Salim, from the top of my head. All right, the human. Now I also have something Sister Halima mentioned. We translated as one, this is our ism inna, then our khabar, then our related. But in fact, in this ayah, the order is 1, 3, 2. Then the related is being highlighted in this ayah, isn't it? To his Lord. right? To his Lord, that part is being highlighted. Being ungrateful is bad, but being ungrateful to his Lord, that's worse, right? The idea that the ungratefulness is to his Lord, that is being highlighted, right? So let's add the things together. We have, let's list them together. We have inna, right? The inna, which emphasizes our ism inna. Okay, we have the lam that also highlights the ism inna, the human. Okay, I'm gonna actually write the human. Okay. There is the related before the khabar. Remember, let me refresh your memory here, Sister Umariam. When the related comes before khabar, it is to emphasize the related. Okay. This emphasizes the related. So in this case, to his Lord, to his Lord is emphasized. The idea being that, you know, the fact that he's ungrateful to Allah, that's great, ungrateful to Allah, that part is not being addressed. Now, if you look at the whole surah, you'll see why. What does the surah begin with? An oath. وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. Correct? What is the oath by? العاديات are horses. Okay? But these are like really fast horses. They're not, it's like any horse. These are horses that are racing horses, or horses that are meant to be part of a cavalry. A cavalry is like horses and people on the horses who are so fast that they can avoid arrows being shot at them. Like, so like that arrow can't like really, the target is so fast moving that like the people shooting arrows are just hoping they can hit the target. And then they're so fast that when they're attacking like a enemy that's still, the still enemy has no chance. Right? That's why the cavalry is like very, very critical in like back in the day battles. And you know, in the Battle of Badr, we all know famously it's 1,000 to 300 people. But that wasn't actually the main disadvantage. Because people, yeah, you know, you can make up for the lack of numbers strategically. The Prophet ﷺ actually beat the people of Quraysh in Uhud. And the proportion wasn't that much off. It was 650 to like a couple of thousand. Almost similar proportion, right? But the problem in Badr was that the Muslims had two horses or three. For cavalry, imagine. There's like three horses in cavalry. And Quraysh had 100 horses for cavalry. That is slaughter. There's no competition there. Right? So Adiyat is those horses for that are so fast, they're part of the cavalry of an army. Okay? And that's actually part of the miracle of the victory of Battle of Badr, that despite these absolutely insane odds, Allah Ta'ala gave them the victory on the Battle of Badr. Okay, وَالْعَادِيَاتِ ضَبْحًا. By these horses, Allah takes his oath by these horses that are extremely fast, but they are panting. Right? Imagine there's a horse. These horses are speeding and they're huffing and puffing. فَالْمُودِيَاتِ قَضْحًا. They're striking their hooves on the ground, and as they strike their hooves, it's so fierce that sparks are flying out of the rocks that are on the earth. That's how fierce the strike of their foot is. Al-Mughirati Subha. Then they are galloping to make a raid. Subhan. What Subh? Subh is morning time. right? When there's light, okay? Is that what's easier to, when is it easier to attack an enemy? When it's dark or when it's light? It's easier to attack the enemy when it is dark, right? Because no one can see you and you just go and do what you have to do. But it's more difficult to attack the enemy when it's light because they can see where you're coming from, right? That helps in stopping your attack. So these horses are attacking in an easy or hard way. They're attacking in a hard way. فَالْمُغِيرَاتِ الصُّبْحَ فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ. Now, as they're about to reach their attack, reach the enemy for their attack, they are so furious, these horses, that all you see is فَأَثَرْنَ بِهِ نَقَعَ. أَثَرْنَ, which is a fi'l actually, أَثَرْنَ. Na is your fa'il. Na, the fa'il, is for the female, right? For they female. You might remember that, right? Barabna, alimna, Atharna bihi naqa'an. These horses, Allah speaks about them even though they're not human, as if they're human. Okay? They are coming and raging, and they're so furious, all you see is like a cloud of dust as approaching. Okay? Subhanallah. Fawasatna. Again, what's the fa'il? Wasata. He was in the middle. Wasata. They both were in the middle. Wasatu. They were in the middle. Wasatat. She was in the middle. Wasatata. They both were in the middle. Wasatna. They female were in the middle. So they, وَصَطْنَا بِهِ جَمْعًا, they attack the army that they're attacking, and they go through the lines of defense until they end up in the middle of the enemy. Furiously panting, attack, you know, like very hardly striking their hooves, sparking fire, attacking when it's hard, and dawn, there's light. The soldiers of the enemy are well rested, but they are attacking with furious speed. So furious that it's like a cloud of dust coming. And when they attack, it's with brutal force. They destroy the initial ranks of defense and end up in the middle. These are the horses Allah is taking an oath by. Okay? And then he says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٌ. Surely man is ungrateful to his Lord. What is the connection? What's the connection? Any thoughts? Sure. There's multiple tafasir, by the way, of what this adiyat refers to. But the oath is by the horses. Oath by horses that are extremely loyal. And like their loyalty is expressed by their action. Right? They're so loyal to their master. They're obedient. Even though the horse, if the horse is not fast, the master will discard it. If the horse is not riding well, the master will discard it. The master only feeds the horse because the horse is useful for an attack. Yeah? Despite the fact that the one who gets benefit is the master of the horse, not the horse. And the one who gets the harm is the horse, because the horse is probably get slashed by like a sword or get, you know, hit by an arrow. The horse does extremely hard things. These horses do extremely hard things, and they do it with fierce, brutal force. They go 100%. Their loyalty, their obedience is expressed by their actions. In contrast to who? In contrast to the human being, animal, who is ungrateful, not just to like other humans, but really, who his Lord, لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. Right? The one we should be grateful, obedient, loyal to, Allah, and we should be grateful, obedient, loyal to Allah. Instead, we are لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُود. Do you see why the related before khabar is highlighting that لِرَبِّهِ part? And you can make the case that the oath is actually emphasizing the whole sentence, isn't it? It says the whole sentence. People, you're with me. But when we translate this, we can actually highlight this. Inna al-insana li rabbihi lakanud. The whole oath before that highlights this behavior. And this is, again, the human. This is all humans. Double emphasis on the human part. All of us are like this. And the reality is, it's to his Lord. Subhanallah. Or the tragedy is, it's to his Lord, who should be fiercely loyal and obedient to. What's also interesting here is, folks, that إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودِ is the word kanud, the choice of the word ungrateful, right? There's many words in Arabic, in the Quran, for ungrateful, kafur, but kanud is strange in the way that it's only once in this, in the whole Quran, from what I remember best. And Al-Hasan al-Basri says, al-kanud is the one who, when something bad happens, all they remember is the bad, and everything that was good before they forget. Everything before, forgotten. It's like, the analogy is sometimes when people travel, right? Or example would be when some people travel. Everything is going good and something goes wrong at the end. It's as if the whole trip has been ruined because of that one thing. Even though, that one thing is tough and it's not nice, but there were lots of good stuff, but we forget the good. And we remember that one bad. Often it's sometimes called recency bias. The recent bad thing we remember, and the good that was in the past is kind of just glossed over. So kanud is highlighting or is expressing bad behavior. That's how humans are, subhanAllah. Can we translate the emphasis through la in words? So Sister Nadia, you can say indeed, certainly, but I feel it gets too wordy. Do you agree with that? That's why I like using bold and underline. That's how we emphasize things now, right? You agree? It becomes too much. Like, it's like, indeed, certainly, for sure, the human. That's too much. But this part kind of, gets the idea across. The human is ungrateful to his Lord. All right. وَإِنَّهُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ لَشَهِيدٌ. People, you with me? All right. By the way, ذَلِكَ is مَبْنِي. Remember مَبْنِي? Right, what is Mabni? Mabni is constructed, or it's doesn't change. Oh, close. The status, the change in status does not show. Remember that? Then change in status does not show. Yes or no, people? That's mabni. Okay, now let's count the words here. Wa, one. The second word is inna. Third word is who. Fourth, ala. Five, ذلك تكست لا سفن شهيد. Right? Okay, very good. Now, we will, of course, wa means and. This wa begins the sentence. So we are okay with that, right? It begins the sentence. Now we look at our harf nasb. What are harf nasb, people? Inna, thank you. What is with inna? Who? What is who again? What type of pronoun? It is a attached pronoun. In this case, attached pronoun is what? Ism inna. Perfect. Ism inna is who? This is the file that we've posted online, right? You might remember this file. Learning aid, attached pronoun. When a pronoun attaches to ism, it is mudaf ilayhi. Fa'il, it is maf'ul. Harf jar, it is ism majroor. Now harf nasb, it is ism inna. And that's the last of the attached pronouns. There's no more, that's it. There's only four possibilities. Okay, alhamdulillah. So ism inna, yay, we got it. Now, what is my khabar? Inna. And that's the first marfu ism. Very good. Shahidun. Shahidun, correct? Okay, and then what else do I have? I have related to khabar, right? And what is that? Harjar ala, and then ism majur, dhalika. Correct? Again, when we translate, our order is 1, is 2, plus 3. That's how we translate. Again, I'm doing this for the sake of keeping some consistency. And translation can be fluid, there's no problem. What is my ism inna? Who? That's the one. What's my khabar? Shaheed. And what is my related? Ala dhalika. Right? Is it out of order? It is out of order, right? Perfect. So what is being highlighted by the out of order sequence? Right? What is being highlighted by the out of order sequence? The khabar, right? The khabar. Okay. The related is being highlighted. All right. So now I translate it. Innahu. In wa is and, right? That's the easy one. And indeed, he is shahidun is what? Witness on that, right? He's witness on that. Now this part, we have to kind of explain a little bit. What does that mean? Witness on that is, he's a witness. Ala is on or over, same thing, right? Like, he's a witness on that, his actions are a proof. Right? His actions are, let me write this on a new line, sorry. His actions are a proof of that. That's what the shahidun ala means. Okay, he's a witness over that. He is, his actions are proving that. What is that? the ayah before, that the man is ungrateful. That insana li rabbihi la kanud, that he is kanud. So it's not just by like a behavior, or it's not just how this is, you know, just something that's intrinsic. No, no. The human being shows his ungratefulness through his action. He's a witness over it. Because when you witness something, it's like an action. You witness it. Okay? So he's a witness on that. His actions are witnessing. And again, if we add emphasis here, he is emphasized twice. Inna, and then also, what? Word number, the slipping la. Perfect. La. And then also on that part is highlighted by the order of the sequence. On that, his behavior, his actions are a proof of that. How are the actions a proof of a person's ungratefulness? Can you think of something? Disobeying Allah. Action speaks louder than words. Perfect. Right? Complaining. Excellent. To somebody. Mahsanti. When a person is complaining, excuse me, that's one of the signs of complain a lot. Not complain where, oh, there's a problem, please fix it, or this was not good, or whatnot. Complaining and just nagging about something, trying to think that the complaining will change what happened in the past. That habit of it is definitely an aspect of ungratefulness. But also the next ayah, right? وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Yes or no? The behavior is shown in the choices this person makes when it comes to the way they deal with their money. When times are tough, the way they deal with their money is different. They could say all these things, but when it comes time to act on it, using their money, all of a sudden, this person is a different person. Let's look at the sentence. وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ. Quickly, people. Wa is the first word. Inna is the second. Who? Third. Li. Fourth. حُبِّ. Fifth. الْخَيْرِ. Sixth. La. Seven. And شَدِيدٌ. Finally, eight. All right. Now, tell me. What's my ism inna? Sorry. You're right. It's definitely who. Harf nas is inna. Yes, I forgot about that. My mistake. Inna. Okay. Ism inna is who. Very nice. Then, khabar inna. First marfu ism. Shadidun. Jamil. What does the word shadid mean? Strength. Very good. Intense. Excellent. That's the translation I was looking for. Intense. Shadid is something that's intense. From shadda. Shadda is to tie something, right? Like a knot. Huh? So like there's a lot of like pressure on the knot. If there isn't, the knot will just undo, right? So that's the idea of shidda and strength. It's like intense, there's pressure applied. Shadid, very intense, or just intense. Related is harf jar li, followed by ism majrur, hubbi, correct? What is also hubbi? Hubbi is mudaf. And al-khayri is mudaf ilayhi, right? Yes, hub means love. I'm not asking you like theoretically what is love, tell me about it or something. I'm asking what is its grammatical role. Not like Alhamdulillah. All right. What is hub? You tell me it's a majur. All right. All right. Now, as they please. Now, we'll talk about how khayli is translated, Sister Wadad. Let's do it step by step. And indeed... Oh, sorry. And indeed, he is... Now, put for me, Shadid, intense. Now... Li means four or two, but let's translate li here, you know, mean of. Intense of hubb al khair. Hubb is the love of khair. Khair generally means good, right? But here, khair means wealth. He is intense, intense in the love of wealth. Li, we're going to translate as in. Sometimes it's difficult to translate it exactly as two or four, right? Remember I told you Hafjar is a little fluid in the way you can translate it to make sense. Because if you translate it as strictly as two, four, it won't make sense. Intense for the love of wealth kind of misses the mark. Right? But in reality, what we're trying to say is, it is intense. He is intense in the love of wealth. You with me, people? Okay. Now, notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls wealth in the Quran, not just in one place like here, but other places like Surah Baqarah, in Taraka Khayran il Wasiyya, he calls wealth khayr, i.e., good. Because wealth itself is not good or bad. Actually, wealth is a good thing in the hands of a good person. It's not inherently evil. It just exposes the person's true nature. If a good person, it amplifies the good. If it's an evil person, it can be really bad, right? So wealth is actually not the problem here. And that's a very beautiful, subtle expression of the Quran. The problem is not wealth. The problem is the intense love of wealth. All right, let's add the emphasis. He is emphasized by inna. Also emphasized by... Yeah, I got the nicely done. All right. Also emphasized by the slipping lamb. And indeed, he is intense. And then, is it out of order? Related as before, right? So now the love of wealth part is highlighted. You know, he's intense in the love of wealth, not like intense in, the love of doing good. He's intense in the love of wealth. And how close is that? You know, you see like the wordplay there. Intensity should have been in the love for doing good. But it ends up being not in al-khayr, but in hubb al-khayr, which is the love of wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is expressing or explaining this part of how we act as human beings. Now think about this, subhanAllah. When you have a person, right, and you know they made a commitment, yes, I will do this or I will do that. And then when the time comes to fulfill the commitment, that's a wealth-based commitment, money commitment, and maybe they're on tight times. The first thing to do is let's cut that commitment that I made. Let's cut this, let's cut that. That kind of behavior, very often, is not because of like, sometimes it could be bad finances or just an untenable situation, but more often than not, it is the love of wealth. It's decreasing of wealth the effect it has is that it makes a person go back on their promises, go back on their commitments. If a person becomes agitated, angry, frustrated, that happens to all of us, right? Because we're human beings. Allah Ta'ala is telling us that's how we are. SubhanAllah. I believe it is a Makkah surah, the Sareem. We we're taught in this surah that we are, that's how we are as human beings. What is it that makes us tick? And then the reminder is it not the reminder that should help us reset our priorities is إِذَا بُعْثِرَ مَا فِي الْقُبُورِ, the day of judgment when everyone is brought back to life. And what's in the heart, وَحُصِّنَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ, the actions or the what's in the hearts should be brought out to the forefront. إِنَّ رَبَّهُمْ بِهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَخَبِيرٍ, and that day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give everybody exactly full account of what they have done. Full knowledge of what Allah knows already, all of us, by that point they will be given their full account. The day of judgment, khabir. Again, notice how it is hafnas ism, inna, khabar of inna, and related to khabar bihim. All right, alhamdulillah. So that is that. We got through some of our examples, alhamdulillah. The others are still there. I would encourage you to read them and try to do the analysis, inshallah, on your own too. This is where, you know, more of the Quran's understanding will come into place, inshallah. Barakallahu fikum. Thank you for sticking around till the very end and participating. And jazakumullah khairan for being with us, all of us together, alhamdulillah, from the beginning to now. And inshallah, we will do more of this, inshallah. The part that I really, really wish for that we can do together, inshallah, is the part where we can take our knowledge of grammar and apply it to Quran and then try to figure out what is Allah really trying to say, right? And that's where all the fruits are. That's where all the good stuff is. And I really hope that we can get to that part together because it's so beneficial for all of us. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. I'll see you all, inshallah ta'ala, in steps 3, starting on Monday. If you can't register right away and do this right now, please keep attending until the end of April. And then once you are able to register, please come back at the end of Ramadan. And then we'll restart that classes in June, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. Hayakumullah. Take care. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah.